Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I am Liam S. Smith, and I wrote the book on solving murders.
I'm Regan Lloyd. I'm doing a creepy recreation of that scene from American Beauty.
All right.
It makes sense if you've seen the episode that we're watching today.
Yes, but I haven't seen American Beauty.
Really?
No.
Oh, that's weird.
Tell me more.
Well, there's like a famous bit where there's someone in a bathtub full of rose petals.
Okay. Today we watch the first episode of Castle.
Now, what was your prior experience with Castle?
None. I knew it starred Nathan Fillion, and I like him. And I assumed that I knew it was very popular with like the sort of, I guess, the American equivalent of the Midsummer Murders audience.
I feel like the American equivalent of the Midsummer Murders audience is a lot younger.
Maybe.
Well, that's the impression I get from the like sexy American crime-solving shows like Castle.
It was much sexier than I expected it to be.
Right? And like Elementary is vaguely sexy.
Yep. And, but also the thing that really struck me about this show is how it seemed to be going for the same sort of dynamic as Death in Paradise, but doing it so much better.
Yeah, I agree.
What's your previous experience with the program?
I've seen a few episodes when it was like just on TV, but the premise always really annoyed me. If you've never seen Castle, the premise is that Castle is a crime writer who's following a detective around and helping them solve mysteries. And I was just like, why would you?
I assume that's the same premise as Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, maybe. I'd never thought about that.
Except in this episode, at least, it's reversed because, although I guess in future episodes, he's going to be writing books based on their adventures, which I think is what Murder, She Wrote does.
That makes sense. I'd never actually thought about the plot of Murder, She Wrote, even though that's what the title is, so it would make sense.
There's this woman, and she writes people's names in her notebook, and then they die of heart attacks.
That's an anime. Is that Death Note?
Yeah, that's Death Note.
Yes! Are you so impressed that I got that?
Not really.
Oh.
Kind of disappointed, honestly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No one should know about anime.
I've never seen it. I've just had someone describe the plot to me in excruciating detail once.
I can imagine.
Oh, God. I was just like, mm-hmm.
So there's this guy, thanks. And his name's Lai, and he finds this book, and he kills criminals with it so that he can kill all the criminals. But then there's this other guy who's a detective who wants to stop him.
It honestly, like, this guy went on for, like, 45 minutes. I was like, please kill me.
It's basically the whole thing. How do you go on for longer than that?
I don't. He
went
into,
going into, like, beat by beat.
Yeah, and it was sort of like the moral quandaries it poses, and it was a very weird time.
Great.
But yeah, anyway, Castle always annoyed me because I was like, why would you let him follow you around? But now that I've seen the pilot, I thought that was a good premise, the way that it's set up in the pilot and everything.
The answer is he's an arsehole who knows everyone.
Well, yes, but also he's necessary in the first episode.
True. That's how you establish the relationship.
Exactly. Like Private Eyes or whatever.
Private Eyes. It is very much cut from the same mold as Private Eyes, where you have a quote-unquote professional who teams up with a detective to solve a mystery related to their profession.
Yeah. And, like, that's a cloth I'm into.
It's you know, one of the tried and true, yep, sure, mystery show formulas.
Exactly.
So, shall we talk about our people of interest?
Please do.
So, obviously, we start with Nathan Fillion as Richard Castle. He's a sexy crime author, I guess, is the image they're going for.
He sort of reminded me of Californication when he's at his party. I've not seen a lot of Californication.
Show,
what?
I don't watch that show, but sure.
No, I've only seen bits of it, but it's just like David
Duchovny
fucking a lot of young people.
Sex with a lot of people. They felt like they were trying very hard to make the world of crime authors like rock stars in this.
I think they did it in a reasonably tongue-in-cheek way.
Yeah, yeah. And as our deuteragonist, we have Stana Katic as Kate Beckett.
Sorry, what? Our what?
Secondary protagonist. That's the term.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, there you go.
The
Learning
only credit of hers
things.
That I've seen before is she voiced Talia al Ghul in the video game Batman Arkham City.
Well, there you go.
Rounding out the core cast, we have Susan Sullivan as Martha Rogers, a.k.a. Mum Castle.
Is she the rich mum in the George of the Jungle movie?
I don't know. She was someone in Dharma and Greg for 119 episodes.
Maybe I'm thinking of that then. I'm sure it's... Let me fucking... Do you have IMDb up?
No.
I'm going to do it. I feel like this is important enough to warrant getting IMDb out.
She feels very much cut from the same cloth as basically all of Jessica Walter's recent characters.
Yes, I agree.
Which I approve of. And we also have Molly Quinn as Alexis Castle, aka Castle Daughter.
Well, this is really similar to Private Eyes, isn't it?
I wonder what's going. I wonder if we'll ever find out what happened to Castle Wife or Castle One Night Stand.
No, it's his publisher.
Oh yeah, his ex-wife. I didn't put it together that would be her mum.
You dummy.
Gosh. And also other people of interest in this particular episode are Seamus Deaver as Kevin Ryan, a troubled young man who's very briefly in the episode. And Brian Avis as Harrison Tisdale, the brother of the first victim. Something that struck me of particular note in this show is that, at least in this first episode, is how much of a non-entity the three victims all were.
Yeah, that was interesting. You didn't get the, like, victim being murdered before the credits.
Yeah, and in basically every other show we've watched, we've either had that or we've seen them sort of going about their lives a bit before they get murdered. And in this, it's just, there's a body.
Well, I think because they were trying to do the setup where it looked like that. Well, from what I thought, it looked like they were setting up the Rose's body as, like, part of the murder party.
Right, I assumed it was actually just the opening credits.
Ah. Also, it's a different...
Shall we get into the recap proper?
Yes, but before that, important news, it's not the mum from George of the Jungle. The mum from George of the Jungle is the mum from 2 and a Half Men.
Okay.
Just because I know everyone was on the edge of their seat.
Susan Sullivan was in some 2 and a Half Men.
Huh?
Susan Sullivan was in some 2 and a Half Men.
Oh, God, was she?
Yeah.
Oh, what's happening? Maybe I don't know anything anymore. I'm just gonna...
Anywho.
Yeah, let's get into our recap.
Sure. So as we mentioned briefly before, we open with sort of elaborately crafted shots of blood running down a body and rose petals being placed on it and things like that.
Yep.
It all looks very artsy.
With cuts of a book launch party.
It's such a wild party, just like all book launches are, because writers are so sexy and everyone wants them to sign their tits.
Yeah, that's weird.
And that's not me just doing a bit. That's in the episode.
Also, Castle is just so inappropriate around his, like, teenage daughter.
Yeah, right. So he's introduced as Rick Castle, the master of the macabre, and we learn he writes the Derek Storm series. But recently he's killed off his very lucrative character, and he's had a bit of writer's block lately. And his ex-wife/publicist is like, if we don't have a manuscript in three weeks, where... demanding your advance back.
Which he already spent divorcing her.
Recent wounds.
Nothing like a shrew of an ex-wife character to really spice up a television show.
Yeah, I bet no one will murder her eventually.
I honestly do think no one will murder her eventually.
All right, fair enough.
That's my mystery envelope for the series as a whole.
Noted. Someone put that on our Wikipedia. Put it alongside guy from Death in Paradise Can't Swim.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say we should have a mystery envelope scorecard, but I think that's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Considering how bad I am at them.
Meanwhile, a young woman, Alison Tisdale, has been found dead, covered in flowers. Her body's covered in roses and she's got sunflowers over her eyes. Detective Kate Beckett's on the case.
Now, they do keep saying sunflowers over her eyes, but it did look like they were stuck into her eye sockets, to be quite honest.
Really? I never got that.
Well, that's what I just assumed. Because also, no one Gross. Ever takes them off. No one moves them. And surely there's got to be like...
has a rare medical condition, and that's just what her face looks like. She's an aspiring supervillain.
Of course, yes. Oh, man, because like sunflowers have so many little... pollen-y bits in the middle.
Yep.
So it
oh,
would
like
be
compound
like
eyes?
Yeah, like bug eyes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That would be cool.
And also they turn to face towards the sun.
But if you're a villain, surely you wouldn't do that.
You only operate in the daytime. Like that ghost from last week.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anywho, there's some banter where we find out that Kate has a bad love life because... the person examining the crime scene is like, look at all these roses. Who says romance is dead? And she says, I do, every Saturday night.
Maybe she's got a good, like, I don't want to be crude, but maybe every Saturday night she's just boning down with her different Tinder dates. Like, romance is dead, but sex isn't.
Yeah, she is purely into carnal relationships.
Just because, you know, she's a strong, independent lady. So I feel like she doesn't really care. But maybe also her partner was murdered. This is something that is alluded to.
Yes. But for the moment, this person was killed with 2 shots to the chest with a small caliber gun, being a fan of Rick Castle's writing, Kate realizes that this is a recreation of one of the murders in his books.
I don't know how she didn't realize the first time, though.
Because that was a pretty elaborate one.
Yeah.
Because we later find out this is the second in a series, and the first one involves a guy being choked to death and, like, displayed on a pentagram, which I guess you could just put down to, like, general Satanism.
Ah, that's true. Whereas, I guess, roses and sunflowers in a bath is more specific.
Yeah. The series ends with Rick suing the murderer of this episode for copyright infringement.
Yeah, and that's actually how he gets around not finishing another book and having to pay his advance back.
Yeah, he just lives off the winnings from his court case.
Because
he's really good friends
Courtman.
With the judge, who is played by Dan Castellaneta.
Yeah, always fun to see him pop up.
But we'll get to that in a bit.
Of course.
Castle is at the party, talking to his mum and his daughter. His mum is... They're both pressuring his daughter to drink.
Which is weird. She's like 15, I think she says.
Yeah. And he says, when I was 15... Oh, wait, no, I can't tell that story. It's wildly inappropriate.
And don't you want to have wildly inappropriate stories that you can't tell your children?
Yeah, live a little, my daughter.
Like,
don't make some serious mistakes. Like your mum, who's currently going to try to hook up with this rich guy.
Not the daughter's mum. Castle's mum.
Oh, yes. Mum, like, Castle.
No. I mean, good on you for...
Yep.
Ma'am, but also your granddaughter's right there.
I mean, if you are dating at that age or looking to be dating, you do probably have to scope out people to see if they have a wedding ring, which is what she does.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so quick to judge.
Oh, no, I was just judging, like, her. Like, oh, I'm a woman on the
I was
brow.
Just judging her.
Yeah. I wasn't judging her methods. I was just judging her timing.
Right. So Kate shows up and hauls Castle in for questioning.
In one of those, like, funny bits where he's like, oh, I wish someone would just come up and say something new to me. And then she's like, Rick Castle, we'd like to take you in for questioning. And he's like, and the daughter's like, well, that's new. Funny.
That's not what you say when your dad gets, like, almost arrested.
Yeah, because the daughter is quite concerned that he is legitimately being arrested.
Yeah. Anyway, they take him to the station and they go over his record where he's been taken in a lot of times for disorderly conduct, resisting arrest. One time he stole a police horse while nude, but every time the charges get dropped because he's really good friends with the mayor, or the mayor's a fan and he butters him up.
So just really setting him up as a hedonistic lifestyle party boy.
Yeah, Kate describes the women he normally hangs out with and tries to charm as bimbettes and celebutantes.
Amazing. Like, not bimbo words. Was not strong enough a descriptor. She had to make it even more infantilized.
Yeah. This is where we find out about the other murder. And they want to see fan letters that he's received in case there were any clues in there. And Castle is really interested in the story because he considers having a copycat a badge of honour.
Yeah, and he does want to take photos of the copycat murders to show his author friends.
Yeah, or specifically he wants to take their photos. He doesn't want to go to the scenes and take photos. He wants the photos they have.
Yeah.
So Beckett is quite understandably grossed out by him. Now, these two have a weird dynamic.
They do.
Because she's pretty openly loathing him for most of this episode. But I won't say they have so much a will-they-won't-they dynamic as a they-will-when-will-they dynamic.
I was about to say exactly the same thing. Like, there's not really any mystery except how long the writers can draw out this weird sexual tension. Mm.
The sexual tension is so thick you could stab it in the back then leave it floating in a pool. Which is the third murder in this episode.
Yeah, that wasn't just a weirdly specific joke. I mean, it was
a lot.
But it wasn't...
wasn't this some random South Park humour, as Griffin McElroy would say.
Oh, that's a good descriptor.
Castle is also kind of weirded out because the two books that the murders have been based on are from two of his least popular books. And he's like, why those books?
Now, this leads us to believe that it's a Castle super fan.
Yeah, someone in the Kids Castle Brigade.
What?
Never mind. Like fan clubs, you know?
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if that was like it was a spin on a different sort of fan club.
No, nothing really.
All right, no, cool. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing a reference.
All right. Kate tells everyone else on the squad to start reading Castle books, and she owns them all. and one of them's like, I work with dead bodies all day. The last thing I want to do is go home and read murder books.
Which I sort of get.
Yeah, like, you got to have an important bit of work-life balance. But apparently Beckett is so obsessed that, like, she solves murders all day, then goes home and reads about other people solving murders.
This is also where Castle does a bit of, like, mental analysis on her.
Yes, he Sherlock Holmeses her.
He does indeed. So I think she's like, why are you here?
Why are you here in my police station?
And then he's like, oh, well, I know why you're here. Like, your family's rich, but you're not rich, and you went to college, and you could have done so much more, but you did this. So, like, someone you love must have been killed, and the person got away with it.
And she's basically crying by this point.
Yeah, also, he does it a lot more eloquently.
Yes.
Oh, and then she has my favourite line, where she's like, don't think you know me.
Yeah. Uh-oh. You don't know me, man. You weren't there. You don't know what it's like being a savvy but tough police detective in a man's world.
Basically, yeah.
So they're arguing about how Castle thinks there has to be more to the story because murder stories have to be really compelling. But she thinks sometimes the guy is just a messed up murderer.
Yeah.
And then one of them finds a diagram of the Rose murder on one of the letters.
And then they're all like, book him.
I think I just found your story. Book him. Pretty good. And then they'll take him to the judge and he'll throw the book at him. Specifically, a copy of Frank Castle Writes Crime and Punishment.
Frank Castle?
Who's Frank Castle?
The guy from Only Fools and Horses?
What is that?
His name, not that. I think his name is Frank, though.
That is definitely a name of something. Oh, it's the Punisher. Rick Castle is like Crime and Punishment.
Oh, yeah. I would like to also note that in the Death in Paradise episode one, where there was a book involved in the solving the murder, and I said book 'em, and Liam laughed. I didn't realise until I was editing the episode that that was a funny joke. I just said it as like a conclusive statement.
Eventually we'll bumble ass backwards into a great podcast.
Basically.
Anywho, so they needed to get the prints run on this letter, but there are so many other detectives that need to get fingerprint analysis done. What will they do?
Well, you know what Castle's going to do? He's going to be a complete dick and call his buddy the mayor and get his fingerprints rushed through.
Hey, mayor, you know how you're a big fan of forensic analysis? Can you help me out with this?
This is the sort of efficiency Richard Poole can only dream of.
I feel like the mayor doesn't really have that much oversight in police processes.
No, I agree. I thought that was weird.
Yeah. And Kate is irritated because, like, you can't jump the queue. There are a lot of other murders that need solving.
Yeah. I get their frustration. I used to have to deal with the coroner's office in one of my jobs, and they were, like, 18 months backlogged. It was insane.
Wow, what job was that?
When I was working in insurance.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because you can't get death claims paid out until you know what the cause of death was a lot of the time.
Right. Was it ever murder?
Actually, it genuinely was once.
Oh, cool. I mean, yeah. That's terrible, but...
I mean, it was awful, but I was like, yeah. Oh, I actually read about this in the paper. That's weird.
Did you go and hang out with the police squad until they solved it?
No, but that would have been a really good TV show.
A TV show about, I guess, the police investigator, the insurance investigator. Hang on, what does he want to do? He wants to prove that it's... His bosses want him to prove that it's not murder so that they don't have to pay out on the policy.
I feel like you have to have every episode, though, where you're trying to prove that the person killed themselves because that's the only time that you don't have to pay a policy. And even then, if you've held the policy long enough, you can still get it paid out for that a lot of the time.
Yeah. So his bosses want him to try and push for suicide rulings a lot, but he's like a maverick insurance investigator.
He knows. He knows what's up and it's always murder.
He knows about it. Yeah, he's like Mr. Incredible in that one scene where he's giving them all the loopholes.
It's called the unluckiest insurance agency in the world.
Yep. It's called... I got nothing. Something about deductibles.
Oh, that's good. I would also accept a TV
excessive
show...
force.
Oh, yeah.
Like excess?
I like it.
Anyway, you would accept
no,
a TV
I would
show?
Also, I would also accept a TV show that is like... along the lines of like RBT, Border Patrol, sort of... like reality TV about people trying to catch out insurance fraud.
I wouldn't be surprised if that exists somewhere.
I'm going to look it up. That was, yeah. It's like when people are
meanwhile.
Yeah, sorry. So anyway, back to Castle.
There's been another murder uptown, midtown.
Yeah, while we were talking about insurance television.
People are dying and we're here making up great TV shows.
If only Castle could do the same. Hey, y'all.
Ooh, cancelled and going into its seventh season.
So is it finished already?
I guess so.
Anyway, yes.
Kendra Pitney has been found floating in a pool with a knife in her back. She's wearing a yellow dress in the pool, which is odd because in Castle's book it was a blue dress.
But tiny details don't matter because it's obviously another copycat murder.
Yeah, they clash a bit more where Kate tells Castle, like, stay here, don't touch anything, and then he wanders off and starts flirting with the medical examiner, who is a fan.
Yeah, basically. I don't think he's even trying to get information, he's just being a dick.
Yeah, pretty much. They pretty quickly determine that she was killed through other means, then stabbed and posed, like the other victims.
So what does that tell us?
That tells us not much, but then they get the fingerprints back that they needed, and they've got the ID of the guy they think they're after.
So they pop over to his place.
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Before that, they go to Dan Castellaneta for a search warrant.
No, that's later. That's later.
Okay. For the they break into a lot of houses, all right?
Yeah. So Kate tells Castle to stay in the car, and he says, scout's honor. And then they go, and then he immediately gets out of the car. Because isn't he so irascible?
What does irascible mean?
Cheeky? Disobedient?
That's a really good word.
He's a real scamp.
I really enjoy how much I'm learning from chatting with you every week.
I don't know if that's quite how you pronounce it, but that's...
I'm sure my mum will write in and tell us.
Thanks, Carmel. So, they bust on into this house and it's like full-on evidence dungeon in there. We've talked about the concept of the evidence dungeon, right?
I don't think we have. I think we've talked about the accusation parlour, but not the evidence dungeon.
Okay, this is a term that I think the Flophouse podcast coined, but I think it's so suitable that I'm adopting it, where it's the room that you go into where the crazy murderer has all of like the clippings about their murders on the wall and all the red string up and things like that.
Yeah.
Or like it's the room that's covered in blood and stuff, or, you know, that sort of thing. The room that is really sinister and where all the evidence lives.
The room where Papa Winchester had red stringed all of the clues together.
Exactly, yeah. Except to implicate the person who did a murder, not just to investigate a ghost.
I mean, that room would have implicated him if someone else had found it, let's be quite honest.
True, yeah.
That was like a red herring evidence dungeon.
Sure.
As was this one. Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm.
Twist. They find the guy in the house along with all the evidence and he's rocking back and forth in his cupboard and it's quite disturbing, honestly.
Yeah, I felt really bad for him.
Yeah, so he has pervasive developmental disorder, a symptom that often manifests in obsession, in this case obsession with Castle. And the first victim, Kate, I think her name was?
She was the second victim.
Oh yeah, second victim, but first one we find out about in the show.
Ashley Tisdale.
Oh, Ashley, yes. Ashley Tisdale was his caseworker. And the other two victims were associated with a diner that he worked at that Tisdale got him the job at.
Now, Castle is not convinced, and neither am I. Because we're like 18 minutes into a 40-minute episode.
Yeah, not quite. So Castle is like, you have to keep investigating, but because nothing adds up. And she's like, no, normally when we find a guy standing over a body with a gun, we just arrest him.
Which is fair, but that is not what happened here. They found no prints at the scene. They just found this guy's prints on a letter where he'd drawn a murder scene from one of the books. He didn't make up the murder scene. And then
to be
also...
fair, his house was a pretty compelling piece of evidence.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But regardless, he wasn't standing over a body.
No, not literally.
Just anywho, spiritually.
It keeps sort of niggling at Castle and Kate, although she won't admit it to him. And Castle goes to his poker night with other crime authors. Other guests at this included are Stephen J. Cannell and James Patterson.
Is James Patterson like, was that legitimately the author James Patterson?
I don't know if it was actually him, but it was that or someone portraying him, author of Alex Cross.
Right, all right. Well, that mystery will remain unsolved.
Yep,
so at this,
I'm not opening IMDb during the episode.
Oh, sorry. But this is not as important as George of the Jungle. Let's be real.
And let's be real, what is?
Literally nothing. That was the best movie that has ever been made. That's not the point, though. The point is
you should watch out for that tree.
So he chats to his fellow crime writers.
And he recaps the plot. To the point where it was just the guy, and they're like, that's not a compelling story. Like, why would you just let it end there? There has to be more. Like, maybe someone thinks the case isn't quite solved, and they dig deeper and find someone who framed him.
And Castle knows just the guy.
Me, he says.
and then winks at the camera, and then the word castle flashes up. We finally got the opening credits 35 minutes in.
Bricks fall to fill, like castle bricks fall to form the shape of his name. And then a little
Humpty
cartoon
Dumpty
him
falls down. It's a great time.
A little cartoon him walks on the turrets on top of the sea and makes a little quip.
Oh, like, it's like the cartoon Lizzie
every
McGuire.
Week is the same thing. Yeah.
Amazing.
All right, this is... Okay, so we're developing a pretty healthy canon here. So Richard from Death in Paradise Can't Swim. These guys are all called Richard. That's messed up.
That is messed up.
Richard Can't Swim. Castle has a Lizzie McGuire cartoon doppelganger that voices in a monologue.
What was our other one? It was something about something
His ex-wife will never be murdered.
Yes, that's the one.
And the Winchesters are insufferable.
Absolutely.
And Luther hates doors.
Oh yeah, we got to get back on Luther.
We should get back on the Luther train.
I'm going to put it on our list.
We're born again Lutherans. That wasn't funny. Moving on.
I thought it was funny because we hated Luther for a while.
I didn't.
I don't think I did either. I thought you did. Okay.
Nope.
My life is just a mess. Go on.
Castle comes by.
Oh no, Luther's. I was thinking about Lucifer.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, Lucifer's trash.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I thought.
I don't hate it, but it's trash.
Well, I'm putting Lucifer on the list.
Sure, but not yet.
It's on the list, Liam.
Castle ostensibly goes by Beckett's detective office to give her a gift, which is a signed advance copy of his new book. What? And then he says it was nice to have met you. And kisses her on the cheek, which is very forward.
Absolutely. You should maybe shake hands with a co-worker. Yeah.
Even if she does have a really obvious crush on him. And, like, stares at him biting her lip all the time.
I thought you were going to say stares at him butt. And I was like, yeah, she does stare at him butt.
That too. But as he leaves, she's, like, having a little, like, moment. And then she's like, there's basically a record scratch on the soundtrack. And she's like, wait, what? And realizes that he took all the evidence.
All of it. Literally all of it. Like, just stole it.
Yep. So she goes and arrests him. The end.
And then Castle's little Lizzie McGuire pops up and is like, aw, nuts.
In a little black and grey striped prisoner outfit.
Yes, I love it.
And he starts like singing and smashing rocks with a pickaxe with a big metal ball tied around his leg.
Oh, I thought he was going to start singing Prisoners of Love from The Producers.
Always with the deep cuts. Anywho, long story short, his mother and daughter bail him out. And then while he's driving away in, I guess, their limo or whatever, he and she both have separate realizations that it's not over.
Both their relationship and the case.
Yep. So basically they figure out that...
Oh, because also while he's being... Have we already gone through this?
Yeah, while he's being arrested, he shouts as he's being dragged away that the wrong kind of rose petals were used in the Tisdale murder, which means that Kyle is innocent because he's obsessive about that sort of thing. So his I guess, condition wouldn't let him get those details wrong. And
well,
live
see,
with
no, at, all he says at that point is the rose petals were the wrong variety, so that means Kyle's innocent. So I was like, oh my God, did he like find out in the evidence he had an allergy to the other kind of rose petals? I was like, how? How did you get that?
I was just trying to expedite the storytelling. That is a good detail.
Yeah.
So, yes, it doesn't make sense that he would have killed the first person at the diner, which they describe as a crime of convenience, then go for someone he specifically knows, then go for another person at the diner, which is another crime of convenience. That doesn't add up.
Not at all.
Ergo, someone's framing him.
And that's when we speed off to talk to her family.
Castle goes to see, makes an appointment to go see Dad Tisdale. And as he's, like, sweet-talking the secretary, Beckett just swans by using her badge in what I thought was a pretty funny bit.
I agree, I enjoyed that.
He's like, oh, no, I'm not investigating. Because he's being told he can't investigate anymore, all the charges will be back on. And she's like, are you coming? Like, dang, you're cool.
Yeah, because she loves him.
Aww. Dad Tisdale has cancer and is dying, and when he dies, half of his very rich estate, he's a real estate mogul, half of his estate will go to his children, and the other half will go to his foundation. But now his daughter is dead, so that whole half will go to his son. So obviously he's the killer.
Obviously.
Yeah, and if that wasn't blatant enough, as soon as we meet him in the next scene, he's basically the evilest person I've ever seen in one of these shows.
Oh, definitely.
Evilest looking. He looks like Loki from those movies.
Like greasy black hair.
Slicked back.
Yeah. Also, it's important to note that the dad didn't actually tell them he was dying of cancer.
No.
Castle deduced that.
Yeah, he was like, look, he's wearing makeup and he's clearly recently gone bald because he's wearing a rug that he wasn't comfortable with. And also, in the photos on the walls, he was a lot less thin than he is now.
All signs point to cancer.
Yep. Case closed. Take him away, boys.
To the chemotherapy unit.
Sure. So, I really liked the way that Kate sort of smooth-talked son Tisdale in the scene.
That was very classy.
He was like, why are you questioning me? I thought you got the guy. Like, he's a monster, isn't he? And she says, well, sure, but the first thing the defense team will want to do is try to create doubt. And if I don't ask you these questions, they'll put me on the stand and ask why I didn't investigate you. And then he'll get off.
And that's not what you want, is it?
No, and that's a pretty smooth con, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Possibly, like, one of the better pieces of writing, I think, of around that sort of thing we've seen in one of these shows.
Yeah, there were a lot of points in Castle where I was like, oh, there's dialogue. But that point, I was like, oh, dang, that's a good move.
Yeah, but he has an unassailable alibi. He has a US passport clearly indicating he was out of the country at the time of the murders.
Now, Castle is understandably disappointed at this because he thought they had him. And
Kate's like, you're such a loser. You suck, Castle.
Yeah, because they asked him for an alibi on the night of his sister's murder, and he went, oh yeah, here's my passport. I was out of the country. I was also out of the country on the night of the other two murders. You can check. Didn't ask for dates.
Nope.
Didn't consult his calendar.
He was ready with an alibi.
And innocent people don't usually prepare an alibi.
No. So they figure out that he likely has a second passport, which... So let's... This was a bit... that this was described very quickly. So let's sort of meat and potatoes it. He leaves the country with his real passport, right?
Yep.
Then he flies back into the country with his second passport, commits some murders, flies back out with that same passport, and then flies back in with his real one.
Yes.
Okay, and he uses his riches to get that second passport.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're like, okay, we want to go search the house of this rich and well-connected guy. We need to go to a judge and get a warrant. Good thing Castle is good friends with a judge, played by the voice of Homer Simpson.
Because that judge just fucking hands it over.
This judge is, like, constantly looking at excuses to do bits.
I would expect nothing less, to be honest.
What? Mr. Tisdale's sick? I just played golf with him. Waka waka.
Oh, and then Castle has a great response to that. Like, I hope you took a picture.
Dang.
That's cold, son.
His friend's dying, man.
Yeah.
So they get the warrant. The guy, Homer writes it on Castle's back. But before they get there...
He doesn't write it on his back. He uses his back as a table to sign the warrant.
Same
principle.
He doesn't
physically write a warrant on the back of a man.
He tattoos it on Castle's back.
It's like memento.
Yeah. It's called a warrant. That's a good concept if a guy has a warrant on his back but he's not sure what it's for.
That is
because
good.
He has amnesia.
Oh, man. Interesting.
He's got memento disease.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go to arrest son Tisdale, but he's also going home to destroy the evidence. And meanwhile, one of the other B cops gets back to them and is like, his business is going under and he's tens of millions of dollars in debt. Ergo, he has a motive to commit murder. As if just clearly being an evil man wasn't evidence enough.
And also to really hammer it home that he's going home to destroy the evidence, the doorman says to son Tisdale, Mr. Tisdale, you're home early.
And he's like, I need to go and put my father to sleep so that I can claim the throne of Asgard. Anywho.
Asgard's the name of an insurance company. We could use that in our TV show.
They're knocking on the door as he's shredding his passport and other supporting documents.
Very boldly, they knock on the door and he's like,
a
minute.
But first, before they go up there, Kate is like, Castle, if you're going to come with us this time, you need a gun. My backup's in the glove compartment. So he gets in the car and looks and it's not there. And while he's distracted, Kate cuffs him to the steering wheel.
Hilarious.
Good bits. But, so this next scene is intercut with vignettes of him first pulling a lockpick out of his wallet, dropping it, and taking off his shoe to try to pick it up again because it's just out of arm's reach.
Bits.
Yep. Meanwhile, yeah, so they're knocking on his door, being like, open up, we have a warrant. And he's like, oh shit, shred faster. And then he grabs all the shredded paper and the gun and starts climbing out the fire escape, which Castle just happens to be right next to, unpicking his handcuffs.
So he calls Kate.
Yep. And she starts heading down the fire escape, and Castle pursues him with one shoe on and the other in his hand. And she's like, Castle, no!
And then what does Castle do but just, gosh darn, get himself held at gunpoint?
Gets captured like an idiot. So this is one of those classic, she has her gun to him and he has his gun on Castle and is like, let me go, man, or I'll shoot him. And Castle is like, so you kept asking your dad for money, huh? But he wouldn't help you with your business because he thought you were weak, self-made man like that hated you asking for money.
Just classic like, goading the suspect.
Literally everyone else is like, shut up, Castle.
Which, like, yeah, I trusted Luther when he did this, but I did not trust Castle.
No. And then, like, Castle beans him on a post behind him or something, which basically kills him for the purposes of the show.
Yeah. Like, Castle could go to jail for that.
I think he was just knocked out, but...
I don't know, he seemed pretty dead.
The next scene is him being put in a body bag.
That would be so traumatic for Papa Tisdale. There was a
really comedic clang when he hit him on the post. It was basically like a boing.
Yeah, they're very good with, like, the essentially cartoon.
Mm. And Beckett's like, Castle, why were you doing that dumb shit? And he's like, the safety was on the whole time.
And then she says, you could have told me. And like... No, he couldn't.
I guess he could have mouthed, like, safety.
But then she would have been like, what? And then he would have had to do charades. Like, you can't...
One word.
You can't risk telling someone with a gun to your head that they've left the safety on in case that means that they then take the safety... Fuck, now.
Yeah. But also, if the safety was off, couldn't Castle have just, like, not let him hold him hostage?
Maybe it was, like, necessary for that guy to think he was in control.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. So, long story short, they depart. Beckett doesn't want to go on a date with Castle. And she says, like, I would have rocked your world or something.
I think he says, like, what a shame you've got no idea how good it would have been or something. Or, like, we would have been great together. And she
says, you have no idea.
But, like, whispers it saucily in his ear and then struts away.
Yeah. But then the captain calls her into his office. Because Frank Castle's been writing, and he is a new recurring protagonist.
He's not Frank Castle!
Fuck. The Punisher has a new recurring protagonist. Rick Castle has a new recurring protagonist. It's a tough but sassy female detective, and he needs to do research for his new books.
Well, God, where are they going to find a tough, sassy female detective?
Well, I happen to know where you could find one right here. Castle walks into the room.
And does a smile where you can just hear the tink of the glistening teeth.
Yep. And she's like, no. But secretly she's thinking, yes. But even more secretly she's thinking, no.
Exactly.
She's conflicted is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, because she's like, oh no, I don't want to spend time with him. But yes, I do. But no, I don't, because then we'll be co-workers and we can't bang if we're co-workers because that's inappropriate. And then she's like, but
also
yes,
he's ruining my life in my job.
Oh, yeah, that's also a good point, yeah. End of episode. We did it.
The end. Happy Castle.
Happy Castle Day, everybody.
So, mystery envelope time. Let's crack them out.
All right. 29 minutes, I think.
Yep.
Yep, I thought it was the dad or another family member to try and get her riches.
Likewise, at 29 minutes, 13 seconds.
Oh, dang.
It's in the family. Can I just say, I want... But I also thought possibly it could have been the man with which his mother was flirting earlier, who would be revealed to be her father.
Oh, that would be a fun twist.
Hmm. I really dislike it in these shows, which we haven't really encountered much yet, where the culprit turns out to be someone who you only meet when it's revealed they're the culprit. It feels like it's cheating.
I agree, yeah. Like, not only did we not actually meet him? Like, we didn't even know he existed. He was not even mentioned in passing.
No. It was basically like, he mentions that he had a brother and a son. And then Castle's like, wait, you have more than one child? Obviously the other one's the murderer.
Yeah. So, I mean, we both got there in the end, but it was not as rewarding.
No. Oh, well.
Yeah, we know for next time.
Yep. Never trust a family member.
What do you think about the heat of this case?
The temperature?
Yes.
I think it's pretty clement. It's balmy, like a summer's evening. Honestly, I'm willing to give this one another shot if you are.
Yeah, yeah, I reckon.
I think Castle has better comedic beats than the previous comedy mystery show we've watched, and the cheating with the family member aside, it was, you know, pretty compelling mystery work.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. You said we watched another comedy detective show? Good times, great bits.
We have a lot of fun here.
But seriously.
But seriously, there's nothing funny about Death in Paradise. Donate now and you too can stop us from having to watch more Death in Paradise.
Ugh.
Because I will be returning to that at one point, whether you like it or not.
Liam, why do you do this to me?
Sadomasochism?
No, it's fair. All right, do we have a mystery of the week or did we forget again?
I don't have one.
I don't have one either.
Okay.
We will get back onto that, but it's Liam's really job.
We're basically doing them every other week at this point, which seems fine.
That's true. Mystery of the bye week.
And don't think I didn't just miss you just passing that off as my job just now.
I mean, you're busy, though.
All right, should we wrap things up?
I reckon. Our theme music is In the Crowd by The Years. Our Twitter is @MysteryTwinsDA. Our email is mtdetectiveagency@gmail.com. If you have a mystery of the week, it would really help us to not keep forgetting about them.
Any other comments or feedback is also welcome. We'll take questions as well. If you have enjoyed the show, we would love it if you could tell a friend or rate us on iTunes, because it's, hey, helping new people find it. As a amateur production, we don't have any marketing or advertising that we do at all, so any assistance in that regard is greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. That's it. That's all we got.
The end. Case closed.
All right, well, we'll see you next week, friends, and until then, no yachts.
We're not really twins.